This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to this place. I want to say a special word of welcome to you if you're visiting with us. We're especially glad that you're here this morning. I'll let you in on a little secret. It's my second Sunday, so I'm new too. And people are being very conscientious about wearing name tags, and I hope that all of us will take the opportunity to meet someone new this morning and to become part of this wonderful church family. You have in your bulletins an insert that has announcements in it already with lots of detail, but I want to highlight a couple of those for us this morning. The adult summer Sunday school option continues from now until early August, and that class meets downstairs in McWhorter Hall, which is just below where we are this morning. And also just a gentle reminder, if you haven't signed up to get your picture taken for the pictorial directory, if you're a church member, I just signed up a couple of days ago and it really wasn't too difficult. So that'll be a big help to me and to all of us who are new in this church family to have that directory with us. This morning our gospel reading is Jesus' invitation to find rest in him. So I would invite you in this time of preparation for worship to center yourself, to remember that there's nowhere else you have to be, nothing else you need to be doing, no need to worry about yesterday or tomorrow, but let us all be fully present to the Spirit of Christ among us as we worship together this morning.
All who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Therefore, let us turn to Christ and confess our sins together, that we may find rest for our souls. Let us pray. Merciful God, we confess that too often we do not come to you with our burdens. We put our time and energy into plans and schedules, but do not take time to be still and know that you are God. We become preoccupied with our own fears and anxieties and overlook your invitation to find comfort in community. We seek control rather than trust, overwork rather than rest, and we live in a spirit of scarcity rather than abundance, generosity, and joy. Forgive us, loving God. Help us to place our hope in you. Open our hearts and spirits again to your healing powers, that you might give us rest. Hear the good news, dear friends. Healing and rest are available through God's great love for us in Christ. The invitation is extended to all. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Psalter. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, my soul is like the weaned child that is with me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time on and forevermore. And now a lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
All the children of any age to come forward, so if you feel like coming forward, please do. Oh boy, I am so glad to meet all of you. Reverend Michael has told me all about you and how this is his favorite part of the service. So I'm really looking forward to getting to know each of you. I see you wearing name tags, that's so helpful. And I want to ask a favor of you. Anytime you see me, anytime we see each other, start off with, "My name is..." And tell me your name, because that'll help me remember. Because the older we get, the harder it is to remember things like that. You may have heard several times already in the service the word rest, and how Jesus said in the gospel that we just heard, "Come to me and I'll give you rest." Now, some of you may be a little too old now, but I think you've all been at that place early in your life when someone would say to you, maybe after lunch, "Okay, it's time to go take a nap. It's time to get your mat out, turn the lights off, and rest for a while." Or maybe you're in school and there's a certain time of day where the teacher says, "Okay, it's time to go outside and play." Did you know that that's really good for you? To rest every day and to take some time every day to go outside and play? And the secret is, it's really good for the grown-ups too. But sometimes we forget. It's easy to get so busy and think, oh, we've got so much to do, that we forget to rest. And so one of the things you can do for the grown-ups in your life is to say, you know what? Maybe it's time for you to turn off the lights and get quiet for a while and rest. Or hey, you want to go outside and play? Because we need that too. God tells us all through the Bible that we need rest and we need to enjoy God's good creation. So maybe you can help us grown-ups do that. Let's pray together. Gracious God, I thank you so much for these beautiful children who are so special, each and every one. We thank you that you invite us to rest and to play, and that the children set such a great example for us grown-ups in that. May they lead us and remind us how much rest and play are a gift from you and can really help us to know how much you love us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming up. I look forward to seeing you upstairs in Sunday school. Several years ago, in the year 2013, I had the privilege of taking a sabbatical. And it is really a privilege because not everybody in your jobs get to take a sabbatical, but it's part of the life of being a pastor. In our United Methodist Book of Discipline, it says after a certain number of years of full-time ministry, a pastor is eligible to take a sabbatical. And so I decided after many years of ministry that I was feeling led to that sort of time. And a friend of mine in the conference mentioned to me that the Lilly Foundation gives grants to pastors who want to take a sabbatical. And it's a pretty involved application process. You have to design what you want your sabbatical to look like. But the whole point of it really is rest. So I did that. I applied for this Lilly grant and I got it. And so the church was given funding to help cover my responsibilities while I was gone. And I was given some funds to travel to Iona, the island off of Scotland, and spend time at the monastery there. My family got to go to Yosemite National Park. Of course, if you remember, it was October 2013 when the government decided to shut down. So we could drive through the park, but we couldn't get out of our cars. But anyway, it was still a wonderful trip. But all that time was a real gift to me. And in preparation for that sabbatical, I engaged with a spiritual director. Several months ahead of time, I began meeting with him, and I still meet with him once a month. He's a professor in the religion department at Belmont. And as I was thinking about and preparing for this time away, I shared with him how anxious I was about my sabbatical. I was so worried that here I was given this gift of time, and I was so afraid I was going to fritter it away, that I was going to waste it, that I wasn't going to achieve what I should achieve while I was on sabbatical. I was afraid I was going to do it wrong. And so Ben just looked at me as he listened, and he said, "Carol, what if what you really need is rest?" Oh. And I could feel the emotion rising in me and even tears coming to my eyes that here was someone inviting me to rest, giving me permission to rest. I didn't have to achieve anything. I didn't have to do anything. It's a sabbatical. It's a Sabbath. It's a time of rest. So when was the last time you really rested? Maybe it was yesterday. Maybe you've had a vacation and you had some time to put down your work and really rest. But maybe for some of you, it's been quite a while. And And whether it's been a while or it was yesterday, I think we need to hear again and again this invitation from Jesus saying, "Come to me, all you who labor and are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." An invitation from the mouth of our Lord and Savior to rest. And this isn't the first time in the scriptures when God's people are invited to rest. That's the way it's been from the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1. We have this beautiful poem, this parable of creation in which God creates the world in 6 days. The moon and the stars and the plants and the animals and humankind, and God is busy doing all of that. And the story could have ended after 6 days. It was all created, yay. But the story doesn't end there. There's a seventh day, a day that God set aside for rest and for enjoying the goodness of the creation that God had made. And then by the time we get to the book of Exodus, it's not just an invitation. It's not just a pattern of creation. It is a commandment. We know the Ten Commandments, right? But how easily I forget, and maybe you forget, the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. 6 days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. You shall rest. So if God rested, if God commanded us to rest, if Jesus invites us to rest, then why don't we? Why do we find it so hard to set down our work? And I say we, because y'all need to know this right from the beginning of my time with you, that anytime I'm preaching to myself. I read the scriptures and I confess to you each and every Sunday how I am convicted by the gospel or by the scriptures. So I'm asking myself, why do I find it so hard to rest? These are deep questions, and Sabbath is a big topic. And in just a few moments this morning, we can't begin to scratch the surface. So I'm going to plant a little seed. We've been talking about Wednesday nights here in the fall. I think I'm going to teach a class this fall for 6 weeks about Sabbath and keeping Sabbath. But I do want to explore just a little bit with you this morning about why it is we find it so hard to rest and to put down our work. Both of my children went to Glendale Elementary, where it's a Spanish immersion curriculum where they learn Spanish at the same time that they're learning math and science. And when my son Tate was in kindergarten, he had a group of buddies that would always want to play on the playground after school. So a lot of parents of those kids and I would stand around at the playground after school and talk. And I'll never forget a conversation I had with one of the moms in that group. She said, "You know, I'm so excited that my son is learning Spanish. And I guess I'm just worried about him being boxed into that, and I want him to learn other languages, and so that, you know, by the time he gets to middle school, he knows some, and then he'll be really good at languages when it comes time to apply for college, and I'm thinking about getting him a French tutor." And I thought, I just want Tate to learn how to tie his shoes. But then I was filled with this compassion for her, and also this connection with her, because I feel it too as a parent. There's this constant pressure to achieve, to strive, to get this resume put together so that some group sitting in a boardroom in a college will let you come into their school, will deem you worthy. And I think a lot of our kids feel that. And it's not just students who feel that in our culture. We all feel it. Maybe you get those emails from your supervisor at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you feel like you've got to respond even though it's Saturday. We feel this pressure that we can't stop working, we can't stop checking our email, we've got to be constantly available because we might get behind in the rat race. And over time, as we live into that, it's the rat race that tells us who we are. We start to think that we are what we do, that we're only as good as our successes. But here Jesus Christ is saying to us, come to me. Put your life in me. Put my yoke upon you. Don't take on the yoke of this world. It will try to tell you who you are, and it will grow heavier and heavier and drive you into the ground. Put my yoke upon you, and I will tell you who you are. You are a beloved child of God, not because of what you do, not because of your successes or failures or your achievements, but because you are a beautiful creation of a good and loving God, and you don't have to do anything to earn that. So the question is for us, which yoke do we wear? Keeping the Sabbath in some way, even though it's hard the way our lives are structured these days to take a full day as the early Israelites did, but finding some ways to keep Sabbath is a way of reminding ourselves and being a witness to our culture that we walk to a different rhythm, that our lives are placed in Christ and not anywhere else. Walter Brueggemann has a wonderful book on Sabbath. It's a really little book, but it has a great title. It's called Sabbath as Resistance. Keeping Sabbath as a way of resisting the temptations of the culture and placing our trust and our identity in Christ. So how you and I do that in our daily living is worth talking about, and we'll do some of that on Wednesday nights this fall. Maybe it means finding a time, a little window of time, maybe Saturday morning until noon, to turn your phone off, not just on vibrate, but all the way off. Making sure when you sit down to eat a meal with friends or family or even alone that you set all that technology aside. Maybe you play a game. Maybe you go out in creation and play. Whatever that looks like for you and for me, I believe that those practices of keeping Sabbath can save our lives. I'd like for you to join me for just a moment in some silence as a little practice of Sabbath. For just a moment to rest in the silence with me, as the psalmist says, like a weaned child with its mother, striving for nothing, just resting in the love of God. Will you join me for a moment? Gracious Lord, may we commit ourselves once again to taking your yoke and no other, that we might know whose we are and find rest and life. Amen. I invite you now to stand as you're able. And join with me in affirming our faith in this God who tells us who we are. It's found on page 883 in your hymnals. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. And now, as beloved and forgiven children of God, let us share signs of peace with one another.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today.
If you're a guest among us, we want to extend a special word of welcome. We're glad you're here, and we hope you will join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall, which is through the doors to your right, this way, following our worship service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions you may have. They'll be stationed in Reed Hall and also in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary, and you can find them by noticing that they have on blue name tags. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. We invite you to record any prayer requests you may have. Please indicate if you're willing for them to be shared or you want them to be kept confidential, and you can put those in the offering plates when they are passed down the pew in a few moments. If you've not already done so, please take a moment to record your attendance on the pad you'll find near the center aisle. And then once you pass it down the pew, please note those you're sitting with, and be sure especially to extend a word of welcome to those you may not know sitting with you following the service. Prepare us now to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Compassionate God, you are good to all. Help us to trust your word and accept your invitation to find rest in you. We pray for your church in all of its forms, that we may learn how to follow Jesus by giving rest to the weary in lives of service that are gentle and humble of heart. We pray for the earth and all you have created in love, that all things may come back into the ecological balance that you first intended, and all your work shall give thanks to you. We pray for all your people, their nations and leaders, that when the burdens of war, poverty, and hunger are too much to bear, we may do our part to offer rest and peace. We pray for all those who suffer violence in the streets and in their homes, that they might find safety and healing. We pray for those who are sick, those suffering mental illness, and those who struggle with moral dilemmas. Uphold them and give them peace. Gracious and merciful God, creator of heaven and earth, we join our voices with all that you have made in blessing you and giving thanks to you, who, with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, show compassion and goodness to all. Hear our prayer, O God, as we pray together the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now I invite Natalie Ferguson from Project Transformation to come and share a few words with us. Natalie is actually an intern that West End is sponsoring this year.
Steps. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for having me, first off, and supporting Project
Project Transformation as a whole and for supporting me. My name is Natalie Ferguson, and I attend Indiana University. I'm from Indianapolis, but I'm usually in Bloomington, Indiana, where I go to school. I'm studying social work and sociology, so this has been such an incredible experience for me working with Project Transformation because it correlates so much with my major and what I'm passionate about. And so this summer I'm serving at Ebenezer at 61st, and that has been an amazing experience, just getting to know that community and working with those children. And so a little bit about Project Transformation. If you don't know, we are a United Methodist Church nonprofit that works, well, our mission is focused around three things. It's helping college-age students with purposeful leadership and ministry, and connecting them with communities and churches, and then also children. And we like to believe that our mission would not be successful without even one of those aspects. They all work together and grow together, and I've already witnessed that growth within myself and within our children. And this summer internship appealed to me for multiple reasons. One of my best friends at home, her older sister, was a Project Transformation intern for 3 years, and she talked to me about it, and it sounded amazing. I was very interested in their mission, and it correlated, like I said, so much with my major and things I'm passionate about. And it's been amazing because I've already seen God work so much through us interns and through our children. A lot of our children at Ebenezer and a lot of the Project Transformation children in general are going through some things that I could never imagine going through. Even at the age of 20, a lot of these kids at 6 or 7 are going through some horrible situations, and already seeing the growth within them just by being shown love and support from us interns has been an amazing and beautiful thing to witness. But again, I just wanted to say thank you. That's mostly why I'm here. Thank you for supporting me, supporting our mission. Without your financial support and volunteering and stuff, we literally could not run our program. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And I also wanted to say I'm the reading volunteer coordinator at Ebenezer at 61st. And so I would like to invite you all to come volunteer and read with us. And that is July 17th through the 20th, West End's week to volunteer. And you'd just be reading with a child one-on-one, sometimes with two different kids, but it is their favorite part of the day. It's my favorite part of the day as well because it's when they're most quiet and attentive. But just that one-on-one support and forming relationships with the children is highly valued to them. And it's beautiful for me to watch just how those relationships form and how much those kids do look up to the people who come and read with them. So I'd love to encourage you all to do that. But thank you for having me. Everyone's been so welcoming. So thank you.
If you'd like to greet Natalie, she'll be in Reed Hall following the worship service for you to come and speak to. And also, if you want to know how to volunteer, you'll find the insert in your bulletin that shares how you can go online and volunteer to read. I know we especially need some readers toward the end of the week, so please prayerfully consider spending some time with Natalie and reading with some children. Sisters and brothers, God is faithful and gracious to us, upholds us, and raises us up. Let us show our thanksgiving by giving generously.
Thank you.
May we go from this place as those whose souls are always at rest in Christ, for we have taken on his yoke and no other. May that yoke to us be light. May we go to share the good news of freedom, love, and rest to all the world. In his name we go.